We've got three readings this morning. I'll leave a short pause between them just for those with your own Bibles to look it up. First one, starting at Psalm 71, 14 to 18. As for me, I'll always have hope. I'll praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Next reading is from Luke 12, from verse 13, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Last reading is from Acts, chapter 20, from verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of serving, tested by the plots of Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught publicly from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worthy. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace."
Well, thanks, Joel, and everyone who's been up here this morning. And good morning, everyone. Great to see you. You know, a number of years ago, when I ministered in another church in another state, there was a man in my congregation in his 80s. And whenever he spoke to me, he somehow managed to weave into the conversation the fact that he had retired from work when he was in his 50s. And he was particularly proud of this achievement. But whenever we spoke, I couldn't help but wonder what he'd really done with the last 30 years. It seemed to me that his main purpose, apart from annoying his wife, was to find people like me and to tell them the story of his early retirement. It seemed his main purpose was to hang around doing as little as possible. And I thought, what a waste. But it makes you think, doesn't it? Because this is an important issue. And that's why someone in this church has submitted our hot topic question for today. And that question is, what should Christian retirement look like? But to answer that, we first need to be clear what we mean by this word. For some of us, it's very obvious. Retirement is that stage when after working in paid employment for many, many years, often your whole adult life, you stop working in paid employment. You finish your job, you step back from your business, you no longer head off for work every day. It usually happens around age 65, although many retire earlier and some later. But for others, it's a bit different. They're in what's called semi-retirement. They still do paid work, but they're no longer full-time, and so they have more available for themselves. However, I think we can also expand this concept to those who haven't necessarily been in paid employment, for they too go through extremely busy periods in life, most commonly raising their own children. But it could also be looking after elderly parents or a disabled relative, supporting their spouse in their work or studying or volunteering or something else. In these situations too, we reach a point where these commitments reduce or finish and life is less busy. And so you also reach a stage that looks like retirement. And thus, in a sense, this topic applies to everyone. Because as years go on, we all reach a point where we have more time on our hands. But what then? Well, before we think about what Christian retirement looks like, we need to consider how the world sees it. And we need to understand that this has actually changed over time. You see, before about the year 1900, this whole concept as we know it didn't really exist. Back then, people would generally work in their usual tasks for as long as they were able. It was only when advancing years and poor health prevented them that they would stop. It's interesting because the old age pension was introduced here in Australia just over 100 years ago for those over 65. But while today, average life expectancy is well over 80, back then, it was well under 60. So the pension was actually designed to support only those who were very old and who were nearing death. It was never actually designed to support those who are perfectly healthy and have decades and decades ahead of them. That reveals how our understanding of retirement has changed. Because in society today, people usually retire at a point in time when they are still physically and mentally able to work. And part of the reason for that is because in our society today, work is seen as a necessary evil. Of course we must work to make money to survive, but our aim is to work less. That's why work hours are constantly reducing. Time off is constantly increasing, and despite that, people still moan about the busyness of their jobs. That's why so many live for the weekend and for holidays and see work as simply a means to an end. And that's why, if it's at all possible to not work and to be supported in any other way, that's what many will do. That all plays into the world's view of retirement. The aim is to get there as soon as possible, with as much as possible, so the burden of work can be put behind us. And what do we do then? Well, the world says retirement is the time to have a great big rest. And the world says to use that time of rest to indulge ourselves and our desires. It's interesting. I Googled the question, how should I prepare for retirement? And all I got was pages and pages and pages of search results about having enough money. There was virtually nothing on how to prepare mentally or emotionally, how to prepare to use your retirement well. Of course, the reason we need so much money is because we want to do the things that we've always longed for. And we need to have enough so that we can do them just in case we reach 150 years old. It's become the time for becoming the grey nomad, for hobbies, for gardening, for lawn bowls, for fishing. And none of those things are wrong. We all have special activities that we like doing. But the problem is that when the special things become the normal everyday things, when they become what you spend all of your time on, when they become your only aim in life, well, then they're just not special anymore. And the things that should be most important get pushed aside, and our whole existence becomes selfish and meaningless. In his book titled Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper tells this story. Perhaps you've heard it before. He writes, I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the Reader's Digest which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball and collect shells. At first when I read it, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream. But it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work, before you give an account to your Creator, be this, playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells? That is a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. Over against that, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. End of quote. Look, Lord, here's my perfect house, my travel itinerary, my craft, my collection, my golf handicap, my list of TV shows watched. God won't mind if we've done these things, but God will mind if that's all we've done. The Bible doesn't say much about retirement as we know it, mainly because it didn't exist in those days. But it does say something in Luke chapter 12, doesn't it? Jesus declares, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds an awful lot like modern retirement, doesn't it? You have plenty, plenty of money, investments, assets, superannuation. So take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But what comes next? God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. If our aim would be to stop working simply so that we can live for worldly leisure and pleasure, toys and trinkets, experiences and extravagances, well then that would make us a fool in the eyes of the Lord. And we may as well be dead. For we'll die physically with nothing in the end. But we die even before then. You know, there's an intriguing section in 1 Timothy chapter 5 where Paul speaks about widows. And listen to what he says. He says, "The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives." If we reach our later years living only for pleasure, then God says we're spiritually dead. How does the world see retirement? It sees it as the time to get away from the evil of work and to have a great big rest before you die, to be self-indulgent, to make the special things normal, to collect seashells and to say, "You have plenty, laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." I really hope you haven't been lured into the world's way of thinking, that you haven't bought this lie. Whether you're younger, but thinking about your future retirement, about whether you're about to retire, or you just have retired, whether you're semi-retired or been well in retirement for many years, I hope you don't think this is okay. God says to spend your later years like this would be foolish and deadly. But what then should Christian retirement look like? Well, you know, to answer that properly, we first need to ask, what should Christian work look like? You see, friends, work is not evil. Work is not to be avoided or minimized or despised. The Lord made us to work. That's our very purpose. In Genesis chapter 2, before sin had even entered into the world, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." Why? To rest? To relax? No, to work it and to take care of it. Now, of course, work was corrupted by the fall, and Genesis 3 tells us it became painful and hard and sweaty. But Jesus came to restore what has been broken. And so by faith in him, we can again find purpose and pleasure in our daily tasks. That's why Colossians chapter 3 says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Ah, friends, when we work for Christ. Our daily task, whatever it may be, it's a calling from Him. We work not just to make a living, but we work to contribute to the good of our society. And we work to bear witness to our Saviour, giving all glory and honour to Him. So how does this affect our view of retirement? Well, first of all, it means that as Christians who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved to live for Him, we will not be desperate to retire as soon as humanly possible. It may be God's plan for you to continue. The very best place for you to serve the Lord may be in your current job. And even when thoughts of retirement come, we're going to approach it with much prayer as we consider when God wants us to take that step. But none of that says that Christians should not retire. Obviously, we're all going to reach an age when we can no longer work in the way we once did. But perhaps God will bless us so richly that when we retire, we can still do things, many things. If that's the case, if we can retire while we're still healthy and well, then we may well retire from paid employment. But friends, we will never retire from work, because God has created us to work for as long as he gives us breath. And that's why if we stop and live only for pleasure, we will die. That means that as Christians, we retire with a very different attitude to that of the world. Luke chapter 12, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. We should approach retirement not with a desire to indulge ourselves with earthly riches, but with a desire to be rich to the Lord. So what's that look like? Well, think of those verses we read from Psalm 71. It said, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. God says that as his people, saved by faith, saved for eternal life, that our desire will surely be to declare his marvelous deeds in every possible way we can. And even when we're old and gray, to live for his glory and to long to pass that on to the next generation. That's the work we're called to do. And think of Acts chapter 20. Paul is heading toward the end of his life. He's in what we would describe as his retirement years. But he didn't stop working. Paul says, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul was traveling, wasn't he? But he wasn't a grey nomad. Paul was thinking about how to use his life, but he wasn't thinking about himself. And Paul had an aim, but it wasn't to collect seashells, but it was to finish the race and complete the task that Jesus had given him, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. But you might say, don't these things apply through our whole lives? Why do we mention them specifically in connection with retirement? Well, I want to say two things. First of all, we need to understand, friends, that retirement, as it exists in our society today, provides us with an enormous opportunity. We all know that during our working years, many of which coincide with other big responsibilities, that we can be so limited in the time and the energy that we have to serve the Lord. But when we retire, all of a sudden we have a chance to devote so much more to the Lord and to his church and to his kingdom. And all the more so if we are blessed to retire healthy and well. But the question is, will we do it? I read a very challenging article this week. It was called Contemplating Christian Retirement. It said this: the sad truth is that many Christians actually look forward to retirement as a time when they can not only leave employment, but also leave ministry. Retirement can easily be a time when we're even more self-focused than usual. This happens over and over again. And in my experience, it almost seems to be the norm. End of quote. Tragic. When it comes to serving the Lord, my friends, retirement shouldn't be the time for giving up, but the time for ramping up. The time will come soon enough when we are older and less able to work and to serve, but while we can, let's make our aim to finish the race and to complete the task that Jesus has given to us. Let's see retirement as an amazing opportunity. But secondly, let's also see it as an amazing responsibility. You see, retirement generally comes at exactly the same time that we are at the peak of our spiritual maturity. Let me read a bit more from that same article. The author writes, "Now I understand that as we age, health and mental acumen can change. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pursuing a self-centered life just at that point in time when our faith should be deep and our spiritual gifts should be powerful and our prayer life should be robust and our confession should be bold and our service for the kingdom should be life-giving. In our 50s and 60s and 70s, we should be fully given to God's work and be an example of what a Jesus-saturated life looks like." I wonder if we've ever really thought about that. The Bible says as we get older and wiser and maturer, that our desire and our ability to serve the Lord should increase. It's the time to think less about receiving and taking and more about giving and contributing as we are called to pass on that precious faith to those who are younger. But what might that look like in your life? Well, it will vary depending on your age and your health, as well as your gifts and your abilities. But the possibilities are endless. Retirement may be the very time to make a new commitment to a ministry in the church or in the wider Christian community. It may be the very time when you will make a point of visiting those who are sick or lonely or drifting from the Lord, using your spiritual gifts to point them to Jesus. It may be the time when you can be just such a great blessing in your growth group or in the Go Club. Or maybe you can mentor a young person, or maybe you can support a young mum. Maybe you're still able to mow someone's lawn or cook them a meal. Maybe you can send an encouraging letter or an email or a text. Maybe you're in a position to give more financially to the Lord's work. And I know you're in a position to pray more for the Lord's work. And let's be honest, friends, that's the most important task of all, to pray for God's work in this world. I often think we can spend too much time in our older years thinking and talking about what we can't do, and not nearly enough about what we can do. And let's be honest, even in a nursing home, or even on a hospital ward, you can still be a witness for Christ. In fact, you've got a captive audience. What should Christian retirement look like? Well, very different to how the world sees it. The world says it's time to serve and glorify yourself. But the Bible says it's time to serve and glorify the Lord. And so we should see it as a great opportunity and a great responsibility. In another book by John Piper called Rethinking Retirement, he writes this. He says, "How many Christians set their sights on a Sabbath evening of life, resting, playing, travelling, etc., the world's substitute for heaven, since the world does not believe there will be a heaven beyond the grave? The mindset of our peers is that we must reward ourselves now in this life for the long years of our labour. Eternal rest and joy after death is an irrelevant consideration. When you don't believe in heaven to come and you are not content in the glory of Christ now, you will seek the kind of retirement that the world seeks." But what a strange reward for a Christian to set his sights on. 20 years of leisure while living in the midst of the last days of infinite consequence for millions of people who need Christ. What a tragic way to finish the last mile before entering the presence of the King who finished his last mile so differently. Friends, if you're considering retirement at this time, or just starting or well into it, please ponder these things. Keep going. Keep going in serving the Lord and being a blessing to Him and being a blessing to His people and to His mission and a blessing to His church and a blessing to His kingdom. Don't follow the futile ways of this world. Follow the fantastic way of Christ. And friends, even in retirement, let us remember, this life I live is not my own, for my Redeemer paid the price. He took it to be His alone, to be His treasure and His prize. The things of earth I leave behind to live in worship of my King. His is the right to rule my life. Mine is the joy to live for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You this morning for the work You call us to do. And Father, we pray, may we not see our daily occupation as a burden, but as a blessing, as an opportunity to do good in our society, to do good for others, and to bring glory to You. But Father, we pray this morning that this might also shape our view of retirement, that we would not see it as a great big rest before we die, but rather as an opportunity to keep working for You in different ways, as we can be more focused on than ever on serving You. Lord, we pray, please bless all of our retirees here this morning, and we pray, please use them for great things. Father, we pray, may they find their place to serve in this church. Father, may they find their opportunities to share the gospel with their family and their friends and their neighbours. And Father, may they use their gifts to support ministries of many different kinds. Lord, we know there's a big difference between those who are in their 60s and 70s to those who are in their 80s and 90s. Father, we know that these things get harder as our health deteriorates, but yet we know that no matter what our situation, You are never finished with us. Father, may we be like Paul. May we be able to persist in serving You in whatever way we are able. And in the end, may we be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Father in heaven, please save us from the futility of the world's ways and help us always to be rich toward You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's stand and sing together.